The Koivic Pod on Off the Ball.
To have that drive to sort of ring Carla and say, right, like, here, let's be open conversation. Like, where can I improve? How can I get into your squad? I think is really, really good.
Subscribe to the Koivic Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 71 of the Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and the crack. The first half of the pod each week free to air, the second part exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up now by going to offtheball.com/join. And this week for members, we're going to have some thoughts on the new flat season, get a look at Saturday's action at Newbury as well, and Johnny's charity bet. So subscribe now. Johnny, how's the form?
I'm very well, JD. Just recording this before I head off to Ballinrobe in the sunshine here in the west. Kind of the last day of the really nice weather. So you can see from the field sizes over the weekend, particularly Bellewstown Down Royal, it's very, very difficult for the racetracks, JD, to water in this weather, particularly this early in the year. And race meetings called off in Britain after almost no rain since the start of March, which is incredible. I was even talking to my father here in East Galway. He's 81 and he was commenting on how little rain they got in March, which is really, really unusual here. So I was at Ferry House yesterday. I saw some of the watering in action ahead of the Irish National on Monday week. And it must be a hell of a job to water these massive, massive racetracks to ensure safe ground. And best of luck to all who are doing it. But yeah, good race in the weekend.
Ballinrobe is one of the 12 Irish race courses I've not been to. I've been to 14 of the 26. I know you've been to all of them probably twice, Johnny.
I have been to them twice and twice over again. I never made it as far as Tralee for some reason. When I was working the Racing Post, I used to get sent basically everywhere. And now it's kind of the same working for Racing TV. But it's very doable, JD. And I would suggest if you're doing it to do a little, you could do a little kind of tourism around the areas as well. Like Ballinrobe is a cracking racetrack. And it's quite an intimate setting as well, and they're always like trying to improve the prize money, and they're always trying, they always have sponsors on board. A lot of racetracks could learn from them. Brilliant racetrack, yeah, and it's going to be a bumper crowd this evening.
The Mullins family have had a wonderful life in racing, but surely last Saturday was the best day. Patrick Mullins riding the Grand National winner Nick Rocket for his father Willie.
Yeah, I was actually just texting Tony Mullins there this morning when I was in Ferry House yesterday. I briefly was in the weighing room, and there was a photo up on the wall, and I was trying to figure out who there were three women and a young child in the photo, and I was trying to figure out who they were, and I could recognize one was Jackie Mullins, I thought, and I thought the other one was Mags, who got married to Tony, and I wasn't sure who the lady was or the kid in the photo, but the kid in the photo is actually Anthony Mullins, who's Danny's brother. And the other woman in the photo is the sister of Willie and the sister of Willie and Tony. But Tony messaged me back that young Anthony in the photo, he was the only Mullins in the world that's not at the horse game. I think he's a mechanic, so he works a steady, normal job. So all of the Mullins clan, I suppose, from Paddy down, since have basically been immersed in racing. You see how successful Danny is, Emmett becoming a really shrewd trainer, David winning an Irish winning a Grand National, his brother Charlie riding for his son, his father Tom now, and then obviously Patrick, who's in his mid-30s now and had a baby girl about 6 months ago. And it completed, I suppose, Willie Mullins as a trainer, that his son would ride the winner of the National. I know he was a long shot on the day, but I was taken aback by Willie's reaction afterwards. Patrick is one of these people who addresses his father by his actual name. He always calls him Willie, and I was delighted to be able to interview Jackie Mullins at Downpatrick last weekend, the weekend before last rather, because she'd a runner and she's such a major part of the operation, and I think she was one of the first people over to hug him. But Willie's response to winning the Grand National with his son, what must he have been thinking, JD? Like, he practically the first five home jumping the last, so you're thinking, okay, I'm going to win this, and then my son is on one of them, so I kind of want him to win, I think, more than anyone else in the race. It's a rare thing that may never happen again. for a trainer to have that conundrum facing him. And maybe we'll talk about the, you know, the future of the race that Willie Mullins dominated so much. But Patrick's a gentleman. Like, I have to say this, I've always found him brilliant to deal with. Exceptionally good writer as well. Just a good guy in terms of what he puts his hand to. He did say to me before when I complimented his columns in the Racing Post, he said, "I often get compliments about my writing, not so much my riding." And he might have been saying that partly in jest, but I think he probably felt that because he rides so many well-fancied horses for his dad, that he is just expected to win these races and win all these bumpers and win this and that. But I feel if you add Nick Rocket, the ride that he got, to the steer that he gave Gaelic Warrior, he really showcased his riding ability as well throughout the week.
Well, he's an amateur, that's the first thing to say. He's not a professional jockey, and he showcased his riding ability many times in the Cheltenham Bumper. One of the hardest races to I know there's no obstacles, but it's a rough race, and he's won that a few times. Cousin Vinny, Champagne Fever, Jasmine DeVoe last year. I thought he gave Nick Rocket a great ride, and 1-2-3 for Willie Mullins. It was almost like Michael Dickinson, was it, in 1983, in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, who were the first five. And it's now what... Before we get on to the Trainers' Championship in the UK, like, it was just a really poignant story. Nick Rocket, owned by Stuart Andrew, whose wife, Sadie, died. And then Willie's emotions afterwards. Couldn't get over the price of the horse, Johnny, that he was 33-1, having won the Bobby Joe Chase, having won the Thiestes Chase in Ireland this year. 46-1 on the exchange. Obviously, the horse improved from 7 to 8 years of age. Nick Rocket, the ground suited him. But yeah, look, I don't think it ever can be repeated. I do kind of understand that it was a more emotional win than it normally would be, given the fact that Patrick rode the winner.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the story behind the owner as well. I mean, his winning at Goren was quite a thing itself. And the Thiestes is a big race in the locality, but this was something else. And the race was notable for a lot of things, I suppose, in that you know, there were some casualties in it. And as much as they've made the fences so so soft now and basically so easy to get over, I was speaking to people throughout the week who felt the ground was pretty quick. And that, you know, if you had a horse over there who wanted sort of proper soft ground, he might have been in trouble. But all of this meant that it was a pretty fast race, and it was a tough race in conditions that, you know, we shouldn't expect this time of year. Not that we should expect anything anymore with this climate. But then we had the fact that one of the, you know, the leading high street firms in Ireland had been offering several places on the race, but punters who had the bet on Nick Rocket at 14s were paid out at 14s and not 33s. So this kind of celebration, they didn't get the guaranteed odds, and they were sort of, I know there were a lot of people upset about that, the once-a-year punters who would back Patrick Mullins, you know, riding for his dad. And then there was the Celebrity Delane death afterwards, which was really, I don't know what you made of this, JD. It was quite a remarkable thing, because he was basically a horse who was 13 years of age and passed away subsequent to the race, after the stewards found that the rider, Micheál Nolan, should have pulled the horse up, basically because he was getting tired, and he ended up finishing out of the placings. And then he collapsed after the line and passed away. But then you had this bizarre sort of situation of a post-mortem kind of concluding that, you know, it wasn't so much a factor in his death, the race itself, even though you're kind of wondering, well, if you're explaining, you're losing here. But it was a bit of a black note in the race that a 13-year-old who probably should have been pulled up basically ended up passing away. But like, that dominated a lot of the headlines afterwards. So you can still see that.
Yeah.
Any sort of casualty on National Day, I don't know whether it's a thing that racing makes up to be a big deal or not, but this was like front page of the Racing Post shortly after. Well, so that it was a black note in the race, I suppose.
Well, society's making it a big deal. I mean, are you going to have jumps racing or are you not? Because unfortunately, part of the risk, and nobody wants to see a horse ever die, right? Or fall or injure themselves. But if you're going to have jumps racing, that's part of the existence of jumps racing, that you're going to have this. And it's unavoidable. You had fatalities at Cheltenham. Now, they weren't given the spotlight that fatalities were with the National. But it's almost like racing's got itself into a circle now, where this is like discussed for weeks on end. And it probably is not doing the sport a service if it's an inevitable part of jumps racing that there will be fallers, and fortunately horses will get injured and sometimes very sadly will die.
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, you can blame me to an extent for bringing it up here, because it's an issue that I find is completely overplayed in England. I mean, the race boss said, instead the horse died of complications linked to pleuropneumonia, I think, which is a lung infection. Although blood tests taken on the day of the race showed no presence of the virus, vets believe it is not possible to definitively separate the emergence of the secondary problem from his run at entry. And I was kind of wondering about this, because, like, I'm reading an article in one of the broadsheets last weekend about, you know, chickens being reared for slaughter and basically being killed after 25 days, right? And then you're comparing that to a 13-year-old racehorse who has been immaculately looked after and passed away after running in the Grand National. And it's kind of like, are we getting to the right issue here? You know, because horses by and large are exceptionally well looked after in racing, and I did feel it was given too much prominence for all that. You know, the horse should have been pulled up, and I get that. You know, when you continue with the horse who's going backwards, it's that maybe the jockey could have been very tired himself, and he has come out and said, listen, I'm heartbroken over it, it's not me. But the big story the race boss made out of, I thought, was a bit strange. It just wouldn't happen in Ireland.
In the Trainers' Championship, Willie Mullins is now within 130,000 quid of Dan Skelton. Surely he's going to win it again now. He's throwing lots of darts at air on Saturday, Sandown's to come.
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, the National is kind of like that. I guess it's your captain in fantasy football. You know, that's where you get the real... which has been introduced to League of Ireland this year for the first time, JD. But I was never a big fantasy football man. I remember when a mate of mine started saying he used to, when he was on holidays, he'd go into an internet cafe. Does anyone remember them? Now they're just cafes with everyone on the phone. But in the internet cafe, this guy would go over and he'd be in Prague and he'd get into an internet cafe so he could change his team for fantasy football that weekend. So I thought it was getting a bit extreme at that stage. But the National, anyway, is the fantasy football of the Trainers' Championship. And I mean, Willie's just, as we'll talk about Scotland this weekend, he is lashing horses at it. And Dan Skelton must be kind of wondering, oh my God, I mean, how is this happening?
Well, there was also another article in the Racing Post about maybe disappointment expressed about Willie Mullins winning the National, and oh, it's almost time to look at the flat. It's up to the British racing industry to get their act together. They had only 8 winners at Cheltenham. They have got their act together when it comes to prize money, but it's up to them to be competitive. I think this crying into your beer stuff has got to stop from their perspective. It's up to them to match us, and they're not doing it.
Yeah, I was actually asked about... somebody asked me during the week about how many sort of ex-footballers, you know, are involved in racing. And John O'Shea came to mind. It was actually an English guy who asked me, and I said, John O'Shea, you know, actually has a leg of a horse, was running in Wexford the other day, and I was there. And, you know, Kevin Doyle has bred horses. But ultimately, I think, JD, we need to get more people involved in racing who will buy horses for good money in Britain, because and ex-footballers, we've seen Harry Redknapp and Sir Alex Ferguson and so on, and the joy that they've had and also the publicity they brought to racing. But we need to have more high-profile owners, and we need owners who are willing to pay good money. I think that's the key in Britain. I the more I look at it, I don't think the big owners are really there to buy these horses, store horses, more so point-to-point horses and horses from France for a lot of money that are just snapped up. The point-to-point scene for me, I'm just not sure where it's going at the moment. It's just becoming a massive shop window, and drilling horses to win 4-year-old maidens before they go to proper training, for me, I don't know who, what purpose this is serving anymore. But ultimately, Willie Mullins, and we were talking about this again among ourselves, the journalists throughout the week, what makes him so good? I think his sourcing of horses is massive. And like, ultimately, JD, prize money in Britain is better than Ireland in many respects for the good races. So it's not like having a horse in Britain is a bad idea, and you've really good trainers over there, but for whatever reason, the owners just don't seem to be willing to fork out that money and train them in Britain.
3:35 is the Scottish Grand National at air on Saturday. Willie Mullins, fascinating jockey booking. Harry Cobden riding Captain Cody. This horse will need to jump a bit better because it was unseated at Cheltenham, but is a grade 2 winner over hurdles and could be unexposed over the distance of the Scottish National 4 miles. Willie also has Chosen Witness in this, Spanish Harlem's in it, Olympic Man with Patrick on board that. So he's got a lot of options here.
has a lot of options, and it's over 112,000 prize money. Again, this is proper prize money, and I know we have our obviously the Irish National come Monday week with big prize money, but this will be key, JD, in that title race. And you know, he's so many runners in it. I guess he had to spread the rides around. Sean O'Keefe, Brian Hayes riding for him in the race as well, and it's nice to see some of the smaller Irish yards come over with runners. Liz Doyle, daughter of Avril Doyle, who obviously people know from the political scene. Liz is always good for an interview at the race. To bring over Flash to Tuzane after he beat Packins Rock during Cheltenham at Limerick, it's nice to see that they have a runner in the race with Sean Flanagan riding as well. I'm actually going to go with Brandt right down at the bottom.
Yeah, Keane Collins.
Keane is... A lot is made of Paddy Toomey's strike rate on the flat, and he's kind of protective of that. But Keane Collins is he's not necessarily protective of his strike rate, but I think he's a trainer that he's very much going places. I put him and Ian Donoghue, Keith's brother, in a similar kind of bracket in that they're young trainers from County, based in County Meath, that are going places. And Keane, obviously, after Jazzy Matty won at Cheltenham, he's very, very highly regarded, Keane, as a trainer. And I know this horse has to improve. Like, he beat Union Station at Leopardstown the last day, but he's actually... doesn't have that much mileage in terms of long distance races on nice ground. I love the way he finished the race on that occasion. Sean Bowen is booked. He's slightly out of the handicap, but he is, like, I'm just looking at William Hill odds here, have him in at 20-1, six places. He's a very consistent horse. He did unseat behind Gladiatorial in Sligo. I think I was there that day. Yeah, that day actually, he was going to win and Danny Gilligan was going to have a four-timer. Instead, he did a three-timer. And I think Jazzy Matty might have won the same day. But ever since then, he's finished fifth, second, second, first. He's a solid jumper and has still a bit of progress in him, I feel. So Brand, who may or may not be named after a character in The Big Lebowski, is my selection. I don't know what you like, JD. Of course, Walking on Air, who I tipped up at Cheltenham, New Yard, runs here as well.
Brandt is 20-1, the bottom horse in the handicap in the Scottish National. I narrowed it down to Captain Cody. Flash to Tuzane, I think he's got a chance, finishing third in the race 2 years ago off a pound more. Brandt was one of my four, and the one I'm going to pick, though, is Snipe. I think Dan Skelton might have a little bit of a comeback tomorrow. Snipe, only he's got 9 stone 11 to carry. He's got Harry Atkins, a claimer, on board, and I don't think he's out of it. I remember the Great Yorkshire Chase had the winner, and Snipe was third in the race. So I think Snipe at 40-1 for a euro each way might be worth a euro each way. But I narrowed it down to four, and I also have Brandt in there as well. So I do think Flash to Tuzane will run well. And if you're interested in him, you can get Wash. I'm looking through the odds here, 25-1. But Snipe is 40-1. Sometimes you can get strange results in the Scottish National. And I think some of the Willie Mullins horses at the top have a bit to prove, because I'm not that experienced over fences. Olympic Man, Chosen Witness, I'd like to see more runs into them. Surrey Quest was second last year. We'll have an each-way chance. McDermott, I do not fancy. I think he's run poorly this year. I'm going for Snipe. You're going for Brandt.
And what about poor old Mr. Incredible under Alice Stevens' form of seated, pulled up, refused, pulled up. If I remember rightly, he was actually barred from running in the Grand National because of his profile, which you can argue the point, but you can kind of see it as well. Even the great Paul Byrne decided that Mr. Incredible could be turned into a racehorse. He's plenty of ability on his day, but best of luck to Alice claiming the three there off the top weight.
At Edge Stakes of the Kerr on Saturday as well, 4:35, Group 3, 1 mile, 2 furlong, 7 runners. A lot of this is about who is fit and who is, like, I suppose, Matt Sharp. Like, Jan Roigel is a course and distance winner. Ryan Moore rides him. He won the St. Ledger last season. He's the class horse in the race, surely.
He's the class horse in the race, even though he's actually rated a pound lower than Tower of London. I always bring up Tower of London, JD, because our erstwhile colleague Dan McDonald, like, I bought him for his 40th, I bought him a betting voucher for Tower of London to win the Derby. I think Aidan didn't win the Derby with Tower of London that year. I think he won it with a good horse whose name escapes me now, actually. But Tower of London won the Ulster Derby. But he didn't win the Derby at 40-1. But in fairness, I was sort of right, because he turned into a very, very good racehorse. But Wayne Norden rides him here, so he doesn't ride Jan Brugel. So you're thinking Jan Brugel must be slightly ahead of him. But Jan Brugel looks a horse who, obviously, when he won the Ledger, will stay. He could be even a cup horse this year or whatever. He did win over a mile and two last year when he beat Trust Your Instincts. albeit by a neck over on yielding to Sopp, but surely he will want further this year. And as such, I'm just seeing the price have just come in now, actually, since I started this morning. And William Hill is pricing. I have to say, William Hill, I'm a little bit disappointed. So there we go. The William Hill is kind of keeping Crystal Black on side. And maybe that's a factor in the race that we only have the seven runners. I actually met Jerry Keane, Screen Gallops, yesterday, JD, and he said, I think he's a slight setback to horse, but he's missed a little bit of work, but he's very happy with him. And he pointed out that he's taken on the battalion of Aidan and Joseph O'Brien. But this might be the time for Crystal Black, who's been one of the best stories we've seen on the flat in this century, I'd argue. This might be the time for him, JD, and Colin Keane in the place.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Saturday's action at Newbury and more from the Curragh and also Betty's 10 and thoughts on the new flat season and Johnny's charity bet, go to offtheball.com/subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action. So the address is offtheball.com/join to subscribe to the podcast.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.